A new Android Trojan bypasses 2FA codes. Hackers have started and joined initiatives to fight COVID-19, and you can too. And Zoom has privacy issues. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings, I am Shannon Morrison. This is ThreatWire for March 31st, 2020. This is your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. Thank you so much for your feedback on the new studio. I'm so glad that you love it as much as I do. I am currently in the process of doing some upgrades in the coming weeks, so keep an eye out for those. But for now, on to the news. A new mobile app is using banking malware to bypass 2FA codes that are employed by banks in order to submit fraudulent transactions and gain access to user accounts. The Android app goes by the name Trickmo, which is dubbed by IBM's X-Force security researchers, and it runs off of the banking malware called TrickBot. The TrickBot Trojan was first surfaced several years ago and is a well-known banking Trojan owned by a group of cyber criminals. They use this thing called a man-in-the-browser injection attack during online banking sessions to get phone numbers and device types, then ask users to install a security application on their phone. The Trojan then infects the victim's mobile device, and they can gain access. In the case of Trickmo, the app bypasses 2FA codes and sends the codes to the TrickBot servers, so a criminal can bypass the login and gain access to the account. Now, it is currently being deployed in Germany, and it is in active development, so be careful. If the TrickBot malware has infected a computer, it will alert a user that they should download a security application on their phone that poses as Avast antivirus for mobile to, and I quote, protect their account. This application is actually Trickmo, and it gains control of the phone by asking the user to accept permissions, allowing it to have access to Android's accessibility services. Trickmo changes the default SMS app to itself, so it can intercept 2FA SMS codes sent by banking apps, but it can also intercept OTP push notifications. The OTP code is sent to servers where criminals can manually use it to bypass logins. Now, the application can also self-destruct, leaving no evidence behind. It can also hide behind a fake screen lock, and it can send a fingerprint of the device to the servers. Now, luckily, IBM states that this only affects users who have already been infected by the Windows desktop application of the TrickBot malware, and it is not widely used, even though it is currently in use in Germany. In a time when most of the news that we are seeing is depressingly hard to read, I wanted to share something positive that is happening to bring the hacker and maker communities together. Due to the surge of cyber attacks happening on hospitals and with a rise in coronavirus-themed attacks in general, a group of InfoSec experts have joined forces to fight these attacks and keep them at bay. The group calls themselves the COVID-19 CTI League. Now, CTI stands for Cyber Threat Intelligence, and the league includes folks from across the globe. It is led by four managers, including DEFCON's head of security named Mark Rogers, who is also the VP of cybersecurity strategy for Okta, as well as Nate Warfield, who is a network security researcher and Microsoft InfoSec manager. Their goal is to fend off hacks, ransomware, and other threats against hospitals, medical facilities, and responders, as well as take down any kind of phishing attacks that are using the virus as a ploy to scare regular users. Now, while the group does accept volunteers, each member is vetted before allowed into the group, and the group currently is reported to have over 500 members. The World Health Organization has also been working with hackers at a more corporate level, who is working with tech giants like Microsoft, Facebook, Pinterest, Slack, Twitter, and a lot more to initiate the, and I have a hashtag for this, Build for COVID-19 Hackathon, to give devs an opportunity to build software solutions to drive social impact and tackle challenges related to the pandemic. Now, these could be local challenges that devs are working on from home, or larger ones that could affect a larger scale of people and communities. These include a series of themes like health and vulnerable populations. Even themes such as education and entertainment are included. Now for gamers and regular at-home users, you might want to check out Folding at Home. They may be the organization you would be interested in being a part of to help fight COVID-19. Now Folding at Home's core initiative is to understand diseases at a molecular level by using regular PCs to break down digital simulations of viruses into reasonable chunks of data. Machines involved in Folding at Home fetch processing jobs from a server, they use local power to break down that job, and then they fetch a new job after they're done with that one. The goal is to find weaknesses in these viruses that medicine can actually crush. Folding at Home data ends up in research studies and allows for much faster processing thanks to crowd-compiled data. This initiative has not just combated COVID-19. The project has gone after Alzheimer's, Ebola, and several different cancers. So far, Folding at Home has seen a huge surge in home users wanting to help. Last week, 700,000 folks joined the project, and teams have started competing to fold the most molecular data. Folding at Home is very easy to set up with a simple executable file, so you might want to check it out. Now, if you are a maker, though, this one may be for you as well. Several initiatives have sprung up to help healthcare professionals get the protective equipment that they need as quickly as possible, since many frontline workers are reporting low inventory or a dire need for everything from hazmat suits to simple face masks that can help protect against viruses. Now, Masks for Docs is one such initiative, which is working to get protective equipment into the hands of healthcare workers at a grassroots level. You can volunteer to donate masks, you can be a transporter for donations to hospitals or donate funds, as well as help facilitate distribution. Some of Masks for Docs volunteers are 3D printing face shields, which include a simple transparent plastic shield that can be worn over an N95 face mask for an extra layer of protection. Several makers across the globe, including Jill Telling of 3D Printing Nerd on YouTube, have made prototypes, but they are more or less the same. A printed visor worn on the forehead is used to mount the plastic shield. They can be cleaned and they can also be reused. Now on the East Coast, 3D printing company Printing Solid is using their supply chain to connect hospitals directly with vendors for components for PPE. Another hacker in the community, Caitlin Bowden of the Badass Army, is sewing cloth masks for at-risk individuals and healthcare workers as well. So no matter what your hobby is, there is a way to help slow the spread of the virus, and there are tons of community grassroots initiatives happening to help. If you want to donate time, resources, or money to any of these groups, I'm including links with this post so you can go directly to the source and find one that works best for you. Before we hit story number 3, I wanted to say thank you so much to my supporters over at patreon.com/threatwire. My Hush Puppy perk level patrons, that sounded very southern, are awesome for sending in their fur baby photos. I love them, they're adorable, keep them coming. And if you want to support Threatwire but you don't want to be a Patreon supporter, that's totally fine. You can go over to snubsy.com/shop to get t-shirts, stickers, and even my own digital photography. I just added some new photos this week, all of which supports my shows. We can get through this together, and I will continue to bring you security content every single week, so I just wanted to say thank you so much for your support. Chosen by my patrons this week and recommended by Dan188 on my Discord server is everything you need to know about Zoom bombing and why Zoom is under scrutiny from security professionals. Zoom bombing occurs when unknown actors join a conference call to troll or taunt the attendees with racist language, sexual harassment, pornography, and threats of physical harm. Since so many folks are now working from home, Zoom has become a major key player in keeping coworkers and colleagues in touch and allowing work to continue. Unfortunately, because Zoom is so popular, it's also a target for attacks. Now, while Zoom bombing can be off-putting, it's also easy to avoid. Zoom developers recommend users avoid sharing links to calls publicly and do not post those links on social media. They also recommend using a waiting room for hosted calls, which allows hosts to see participants before they are allowed to join the meeting. Zoom also allows for email email invite only joining, meeting locks once everyone has joined, and a removal feature to kick unwanted users. Video can also be disabled as well. Now, other than Zoom bombing, Zoom also comes with several privacy issues for conference attendees. Zoom has an attention tracking feature that can allow a host to see if an attendee has Zoom as the focus window on their screen or if they have clicked away for more than 30 seconds. Zoom also allows for cloud recording of calls with text transcriptions, and you can log into Zoom via Facebook. But that also comes with privacy drawbacks of Facebook and/or Zoom receiving data about your profile. Now, Motherboard reported on Thursday that Zoom's iOS app will send your data to Facebook, even if you don't have a Facebook account, in the form of analytics. This is relatively normal for applications with Facebook's SDK integrations, but Zoom did not clarify this information in their terms of service, so users are likely not aware that this is even happening in the first place. Zoom uses Facebook's Graph API to analyze the app network activity, allowing Facebook to know when a user opens the app, device information, time zone and city, unique advertising ID, and more. Now, a day later, Zoom stated that they released an updated version of the iOS app and they removed the Facebook SDK. Now, if you want to, users can still log in with Facebook if you desire, but the data won't be sent to Facebook. Now, if you need conferencing but you don't want to use Zoom, the open source Wire may be a better option, or Signal's video calling feature, which offers end-to-end encryption for Signal users one-on-one. Now, before I leave, I want to say thank you so much to Ryan, LoadHigh818, Eric, Paige, and Adrian, who joined the Patreon team this week. Thank you so much to each and every one of you. You are awesome. And with that, do not forget to like and subscribe. I'm Shannon Morse, and I will see you on the internet, which is totally socially acceptable. I will see you next week. Bye.